Good morning. Good to see everyone tuning in with us this morning at New Harmony's Facebook page. Excited to get to be here on Easter morning, even though I only got three smiling faces to look at. But there was a bunch, I hope, watching out in Facebook land. I already had a great service this morning with our family in the graveyard at Concord Baptist Church, close to our house. Good to have you with us. You don't hear any music this morning because we're not allowed to do that, we found out. So we'll just be going with preaching this morning. I'd like to say it's what a blessing it is to be able to stand and knowing that we have a hope in the risen Savior. And again, I'll be in Luke chapter 24. I try to find other Gospels I want to preach about on Easter, but Luke seems to be my go-to place, my favorite, although all of them is my favorites. But turn to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read 1 through 26, and then we'll get started this morning. And get your Bibles out and follow along with us and have a great time, I hope. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the eleven, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it come to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he returned unto them, And what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? They said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, we thank you for your help. And God, we ask you to open these scriptures to us this morning that we may see, such as these people did in that day. God, I pray that you help us to understand that even though times seem dire, that you are still in control, that you're alive forevermore, that you're not in that tomb, that you're risen, and that you're beside the Father, make an intercession for all of us. Lord, we praise you and we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. At a time when it seems that everything is closed, you can go anywhere you want to or drive anywhere you want to. You can't go anywhere you want to because everything is closed. Obviously, you can't go to a restaurant and sit down and eat. You can't go get your hair cut. You can't go to a lot of places. It seems like everything we do or have done has changed and everything is closed. But bless God today, there are some things this Easter that are open. And I'm so proud of that and get to preach that this morning, that there's things that he opened that day never can be closed. There's not a government that can shut them down. There's not a people that can shut them down. It will never, ever be shut down. If you're taking notes with us this morning, put you a number one there. And he opened the way for sinners. He opened the way for sinners. Luke chapter 24, chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, he tells us about this. He says, And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answer rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now think about this. On that very time that they was hanging on the cross, and that one to the right of him had enough about him to see that something was different about this man. And even in the time of Jesus' crucifixion, the worst pain of his life that he would ever go through, and that would be the sins of the world being on him, not in him, he opened a way for sinners. This man that was hanging with him, bless God, he deserved to be crucified. He had done wrong. He had been a thief, or he had done something. He had sinned. He deserved the death. The Bible tells the wages of sin is death. So this man surely was there justly for his deeds. But even in this, Jesus opened the way to heaven for this man. You see, we get so caught up in doing good and all those things. I believe we're saved. We should do good. But none of that can open your way. The only thing that will open your way is the way that Jesus opened for this man, is he came to him in faith, and Jesus opened the way for sinners in that time. Boy, what a blessing it was to be granted entry into heaven without keeping a single law. He didn't keep a single law. If you think about this, he wasn't even baptized. He never even fed a hungry person. He never sat in a church pew. He never was a deacon. He never was a preacher. He wasn't a Sunday school teacher. He wasn't any of these things. And Jesus told him, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What about that? Now that was something brand new that Jesus had just opened. Up until then, you had to keep the law. You had to keep everything, every jot and tittle, they believed, to the very point. And here this man was guaranteed heaven that day, guaranteed paradise with Jesus that day, simply out of faith. Boy, what a blessing it was that he opened a way for sinners. All people that saw that sight, an opportunity to receive the Savior, don't know, but many, I don't know how many, but many left different. The Bible tells us that. It says that they smote under their breast that truly this was the Son of God. Matter of fact, there was a centurion there that when he saw the things happen, and he saw Jesus tell that man that, and he saw the veil of the temple that was ripped, which we'll get to in a little bit, he said, surely this was the Son of God. Surely this was God's Son. Surely this man was who he said that he was. And just think how great it was that he opened the way for sinners that never, ever has been closed and never will be closed. Not only did he open a way for sinners, he opened a brand new system. Luke 24, verse 45, begins telling us this. Says, "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." And listen, they needed to understand these Scriptures to understand something, that things had changed and things were going to change. Like I said, up to the end, there was a once a year that a high priest had to go to the Holy of Holies. He had to bring in a sacrifice for all the people. But at this point, the Bible tells that the blood of bulls and goats can never do away for sin. But listen, after Jesus died, this one sacrifice, it washed sin away forever, and never ever would it return. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 through 18, it says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the bottom of the book is written, of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." This is the new system we're talking about. By thee which we will all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. He had just opened a brand new system. Listen, I'm having to get used to some new things this morning. For the last several weeks, I have preached pretty much to, I don't want to call these three nobodies because they're not. But listen, there's nobody in the pews. I sit there and I look for people that I can pick on. I don't have Pat over here, 100 years old. I don't have Charlie back in the back. I don't have Rudy over here. I don't have Corey's family in the back on this side. I don't have Nate back there. I don't have Landon up here asleep. I don't have anybody to pick on. I've had to learn some brand new systems. And it's hard enough for me to learn this, but think about if you had been taught, if you've been raised in the Jewish laws, and all of a sudden Jesus is opening a brand new system, you too would be against it probably. But here he opened a brand new way. No longer did a man have to bring bulls and goats before to be sacrificed. When Jesus made his one offering on the cross of Calvary, he did something that no high priest had ever done before. He went and he sat down because his job was done. Bless God, he didn't have to come every year. He didn't have to come daily. He didn't have to come any time. He had done it once for all, and it's sufficient, and it's enough for every soul that ever has been born, ever will be born, and it never, ever will be closed. There never will be another system. This is it. Thank God for this new way. I have hope. You have hope. All the lost this morning have hope because of this new system. You see, I know how sorry I am, and you know how sorry you are. I don't want to hurt your feelings this morning, but the Bible says you're a sinner. It says every single one of us are sinners. It says we are born sinners, by one man sinned into the world, and by one man sin was done away with, and that man Jesus Christ. So every one of us comes in this world a lost sinner. You are born here. You have the blood of your dad and your mother in you, and you get no way around it. You are born a sinner. But bless God, one day you have to have a payment for that sin, and the Bible teaches the only way is this new system, which is Jesus Christ. So we opened this brand new system. Thank you, God, for this way. Thirdly, he opened the sepulcher, or he opened the grave. Now, this is something that we probably don't like to think a lot about. That one day, these old bodies of ours will be laid in a grave somewhere. If the Lord tarries, he's coming. If he don't, we'll go with him. We know that. But not our bodies will be laid in a grave. Now, the Bible teaches, and I believe this, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, I believe our soul will be with him. But this old body will be laid in a tomb somewhere. But listen, he has already overcome this thing because he has opened this grave, or he has opened this sepulcher this morning for me and you. When they went in there, and they saw in verses Luke 24, verse 2 and 3, it says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, there were some things that was in that tomb, but Jesus was not one of them. There were some things that was probably pretty to look at. Those two men in those shining garments was there, but they wasn't Jesus. So his garments was there, and they was laid in a way where his body had just come up out of them, but he was not there. Because he was not there, guess what? One of these days, our old bodies won't be there. It teaches in Thessalonians that they'll go up to meet him in the air. Thank God of that, that grave had been opened that morning. The grave no longer had the final say. You see, when we go to a grave, we was just looked at my mother's grave this morning, and her date of death hasn't got put on her grave yet, but my grandfather's grave was there and some others, and we looked at them, and it had a day they was born and a day they ended. And to our little finite minds, it looks like to us that the grave had the final say. But brother, may I tell you, on authority of this word of God and by what Jesus did, that grave was not the end. He had overcome it. He had opened it. He had done away with it. Forevermore. Never ever does a grave have any power no more. The grave is done. It is whipped. It is beat. Death is done. He has victory over all of it. We all ought to be shouting on our couches this morning, running around the living room, hollering or shouting or wherever you're at this morning, because there's a brand new way been opened, a brand new day, and everything. The grave cannot hold you, and it does not have the final say. So far, let me recap. He opened the way for sinners. He opened the brand new system. He opened the sepulcher, or the grave, if you'd like to say it that way. Number four, he opened the eyes of the skeptics. Opened the eyes of those who didn't believe. And listen, you say, well, he must have been talking about the lost people. He must have been talking about the ones who didn't know him. He must have been talking about the ones who wasn't with him daily and saw all the miracles and saw all these things. No, according to the Word of God, the skeptics was even the ones that walked with him. Even the ones that were sitting on our church pews, you want to say that in today's time. Even the ones, some of them may be preachers, some may be teachers, some may be Sunday school teachers or leaders, whatever you want to put there. Even today's time, we have people sitting on our benches when normal church is able to take place every single week. And they are skeptics, even among us. In their heart of hearts, they wonder, is this thing real? Is Jesus really alive? And what I'm doing here on a Sunday morning when I could be sleeping, is there any value to it? Am I accomplishing anything worse than this Savior that preacher preaches about it, and I've heard taught about and preached about my whole life? Am I just wasting time? Chapter 24 of Luke, verse 11. Listen to this. And their words seemed to be them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Who was he talking about? She's talking about to the apostles. She came unto the apostles and to the other and told them what she had seen. And now listen, Jesus has just told them, even in verse 7 here, that he should be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He should be crucified and the third day rise again. Now listen, Jesus has told us all through history, we got the Word of God. And by the way, that's all we need. There is no new revelation. There's nobody ever come up with no new sayings that God has given them. Don't believe that. If it don't line up with the Word of God, brother, it is not true. There is one Word, and that is the Bible that we have, and it has been preserved for us, and it's all that we need, and it's all that we can go by. But listen, he told them, and it seemed to them as idle tales, it seemed to them as a fairy tale, it seemed to them as surely it can't be true, because never has a man come out of the grave, never has a man rolled the gravestone away, never has a man come up out of the grave victorious over it. So surely something must be wrong with this tale these women are telling. But my friend, it was true then. And it's still true today. Those people were people who followed Jesus, who heard him say every word he said, come to pass. Who heard him tell blind men they are to see and their eyes would be open. Who told lame man to get up and walk, and bless God they walked. Who told even Lazarus to come out of the grave, and he came out of the grave. These very same men that heard that, that even saw that with their eyes, that even knew that it was real, they seemed to them as an idle tale when he told them. And by the way, if these men really had the faith they should have had, or these people had the faith they should have had, on the third day, you know what they'd have been doing? They'd been looking for Jesus walking down the street, wouldn't they? Because he told them he was going to rise again. Me and you, we want to put them down and say, these are little faith. But my friend, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you really expecting Jesus to return? Are you really expecting him to come again? The Bible says that he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. We've heard this preached for over 2,000 years, that his return is imminent, that he is coming soon. And we haven't seen it yet, so many people say, well, maybe that's an idle tale. Maybe there's nothing to that. I want to assure you this morning, according to the Word of God, just as sure as he rose from the grave, he says he will come again and get his church. My friend, he is going to return, and you better be ready. You better be ready. Open the eyes of these skeptics. We have people, I've done said it, sitting in our churches week after week, think deep in their hearts this Bible is missing some details. I think there's some, and we've even seen it in some of our seminary schools, not the ones I went to, or I hope not the ones many people listening to me went to, but there's talk about it in some seminaries that a lot of them want to question even the virgin birth. They want to question the sinless life of Jesus. They want to question if maybe he had a girlfriend and done things that wasn't right. They want to question if maybe his body truly was stolen. They want to question these things. My friend, if you're going to question that, I got one word for you. You're not a Christian. You're not saved this morning. If you don't believe the virgin birth, and you cannot be saved. That's the whole basis of everything. If that was true, Jesus would have the blood as me and you run through his veins. He would have been a sinner by nature, and he would have had to have sacrifice for his own sin. So therefore, he could not have been a perfect sacrifice. And my friend, that's not true. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died a terrible death. He was crucified. He was beaten. He was nailed upon that tree. And listen, on the third, he was put into a grave. And on the third day, which we are representing today, we're celebrating today, he rose from that grave victorious. And if you don't believe every single bit of that, you need to get on your knees before God, because something is not right in your life. He opened the eyes of the skeptic. the difference in us and everybody else, of every other religious system in the world, the difference is Easter. It's what we celebrate at Easter. All these other men had a birth. You go to Muhammad, he had a birthday. You go to Buddha, he had a birthday. You go to all these other men, I don't even know many of them others' names that people worship, but they had birthdays. They had a time you could go back and say, yep, at this certain day, this person was born upon this earth, and they walked this earth. They're probably in the history books and all these things. But none of them, not a single one of them, was ever to claim to be divine as Jesus Christ was. None of them ever claimed resurrection. None of them ever claimed to be alive today. They was just good men that people believed in, some think. But bless God, most of them wasn't even good men. But the Savior we worship, and the day we celebrate, our God, our Savior, He lives again. And not only did He live in that day, the Bible says He's alive today forevermore. He never will be dead. The eyes of the skeptics was open then, and they should never be closed. We have proof that He did, that He walked. You say, well, listen, I need more proof than the Bible. Well, you shouldn't. That's the only proof you should need. But if you need more, there's history books Josephus wrote and tells about men who saw Him. But on top of that, the Bible talks about 500 witnesses that laid eyes on Him. And if that ain't good enough for you, I think I said it in my sunrise service this morning, that you go to the history books and read about the death of all the apostles and many of His followers, and it should tell you that these men was dying for something that they knew was true. And that was a risen Savior they laid their eyes upon. And even a man named Thomas, he said, Lord, I won't believe till I put my hand in the nail prints and I put it aside. And Jesus allowed him to touch him. And then Thomas believed. And after that, you read about Thomas and he died a martyr's death. Oh, so did all these men. That tells me that they knew what they was doing, had a reason behind it, had a purpose behind it, and it was because of a risen Savior. He silenced these skeptics. I can just imagine, of all the skeptics we have today, what about all them that was then? What about all them that was there that he was trying to, the ones that was even kin to him, the ones that even raised up with him, even would have went to elementary school if they had it then, would have went to high school if they had it then. What about all those? So he'd opened the eyes of the skeptics. Number five, listen to this one. He opened the Scriptures. I done preached a little bit to you about these Scriptures, but oh, how important these Scriptures are. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures these things concerning himself. All the way back to Moses. Matter of fact, all the way back into the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning was God. And he said, let us, there is Jesus Christ. And it speaks of him all through every Scripture, all the way to the book of Revelation, to the very end of it. It speaks of Jesus Christ. I believe in that short trip that they walked, he explained himself through all of that. Through every bit of it, he explained of who he was and what he had did. Everything we need to know is in this Bible. There is nothing else that you need. There's nothing else. That's how he must prove it to them, was through the prophets and through the Scriptures. And that's the same way today that he wants to prove it to you. And you say, well, I don't know. Maybe things has got out of his hands a little bit. Maybe we come to a time where maybe God don't know what to do about this thing that we're going through. Maybe he's just bumfuzzled about what's going to happen and all these things. May I tell you, this virus has not took him off his guard. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the very end of this thing. He knows when it started, how it started. And bless God, he knows how to handle it. And there will be a time when he'll say, all right, it's enough. You get off of them, you leave them alone, and this virus will be gone. He opened the Scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Let me turn back over there. I done got one place over. It says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. After he opened this unto them, their eyes were opened, and they understood of who he was. And then he vanished after he'd opened their eyes. Now listen, they saw him with physical eyes. We see him with eyes of faith. The way that they had to after that he went out of their sight, which we know there was times he come back and they saw him again with physical eyes. at the sea in different places. But me and you today, we don't get the luxury, I guess we would say, of seeing him with physical eyes. But oh, what grace and mercy he give upon us that we're able to see him with the eyes of faith. And understanding that through these scriptures, just as he showed those people that first Easter morning who he was, the same way he's trying to get you and me today to understand who he is by opening our eyes through the scriptures that he has preserved for us, that he has saved for us, that he has allowed. Hey, if you want to see something miraculous, you go get you down a history book of the churches and you go through and you read about how far this Bible has came. The men who died to have it printed so me and you can read it. The men who died to have it where it wasn't chained to pulpit. The man who died so it could even be, and you'll truly see that God preserved this thing for a reason. And the reason is that men and women, boys and girls, even in 2020, may be saved through the opening of our eyes, through the scriptures. So we opened the scriptures. Listen at Luke 24, 44 through 49. It says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There again, he used the scriptures. He opened their understanding of the scriptures. And listen, that is what's missing in our world today. And if we had an understanding of the scriptures, maybe we wouldn't be so terrified right now. Maybe we could truly understand what's going on if we can understand those scriptures. How do you do that? The same way that he tells them they'll be able to. They'll be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost of God would come upon them and would indwell them and would show them and would teach them and would open their understanding. Listen, my friend, I can remember before I was saved getting a Bible down and reading it, and it made absolutely no sense. I read a spot in the Bible, I still remember it, where it says that if you it wasn't chastised, you was a bastard. And in my little mind, I thought, oh, there's cussing in the Bible. Surely this thing can't be true. He just said a cuss word in the Bible. And listen, I could not understand that one bit. And I remember, after I was saved, I went and got that same Bible, and I opened it up, and I read that, and guess what? The sense, it came to my understanding what he was saying. That unless I was one of his kids, unless I had a father, which was him, and he wasn't chastising me, then I was lost. I didn't understand that before. And the same with you. Until you are born again, you cannot understand this Bible because it's spiritual. That is the flesh is flesh, and that is the spirit is spirit. You can't understand spiritual things with a fleshly mind. So we opened these scriptures. Lastly, and boy, this is important right now. In the day we live, he opened hope. Hope. Boy, that's something right now that we need more than anything. You see, I've been around people who was diagnosed with cancer. You know the worst thing you can tell them? There's no hope. The worst words they can hear is there's no hope. They'll give up. They'll quit fighting. They'll just sit there and wait for death to come. But if you let one doctor or either one person who knows about that illness tell them, say, look, there's a chance that this will work, that you will live. You will see that person begin fighting. You'll see them get a fighting spirit about them, and they'll get away that they cannot die. They think they cannot give in to this thing. They will fight. They'll fight for everything they have. And listen, hope to us is everything this morning. We're living at a time when it seems there are no hope. We're turning on you. By the way, I quit looking at news this week. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see no more of it. I don't want to know what the numbers are doing. I know it's important, and I know it may be bad because of my position, but I cannot look at that anymore. I choose to look at these scriptures and rely on what God says and not what Fox or CNN says. Some of those places want to kill hope because it sells good. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 through 22. I want you to listen to this. This is what hope was opened that day. I'm not talking about a hope even a virus will be done away with. I'm talking about a hope we have when we're done on this earth. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The hope that was opened that day is a hope that Corinthians just told us about. It's a hope that knowing that he arose from the grave. Why was it important that that grave was open, that they could see that body was gone? Because we're going to preach for years and years about a hope we have in a Savior. And listen, if that Savior was dead, there was no hope in him. Everything I preach, everything other preachers preach is in vain. It's no good. It's empty. You might as well not even listen to it because it don't mean a hill of beans. But because he opened hope this morning, we can praise a holy God. We can praise a living God because our Savior lives, we also will live. We have a hope. This morning, in the midst of all this chaos, there is hope. I have hope. Not only do I have hope of what's going to happen to me when I die, I have hope in knowing that men, women, boys and girls today can hear the preaching of God's Word by any person who is called and he is anointed with the Spirit of God to preach the Word. They can hear this. They can, with their eyes of faith, can see him and open their understanding, can realize they're a sinner, and they too can be saved. I believe that people are still being saved today. I believe that through this pandemic that we're going through, I believe people's being saved. I believe people will come back to churches. I believe good things is going to happen. And listen, I'm just going to stand on that. I have hope. I have hope that a few weeks from now, maybe months even, we'll be all back together in this building. I have that hope. You know why I have that hope? A man who can overcome death, hell, and the grave. A little virus is nothing. When he's done with this thing, I have hope that we'll be restored. Don't lose hope this morning. If that news is causing you to lose hope, turn it off. If you've got somebody on Facebook's making you lose hope, turn them off. They got a button on there that says unfollow. They'll never know it, I don't think. If they look on there, so they won't ever figure it out. Do away with them. You want hope, you get into the Word of God. There's hope. I'm glad you followed along with us this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we'll close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. God, we thank you for the things you opened on that day. God, that their eyes was open, their grave was open. God, the hope was open, that there's a way. Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for this day, Easter morning we get to celebrate of a risen Savior. Not one that's in a grave somewhere. Not one that's no power. But we serve one that's risen, that can speak and worlds come into existence. Get them speak and viruses have to run. That can speak and even the devil has to bow down. We thank you for who you are this morning. We praise you. Ask you to bless every person who's listening, who's watching. God, I pray that this will be the day that you open their understanding that they need a Savior. They need a risen Savior. Not their money in the bank. Not their health even. Not anything can save them. Not even doing good deeds in this time and feeding all the ones who's out of work won't do any good. They need a risen Savior, and it's you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are. God, we ask these blessings in your name. Amen. For those of New Harmony Baptist Church, I have a few announcements. Of course, we'll try to look at what's going to happen this week and see how the virus situation is faring. If maybe we'll start back our drive-in church this come Sunday. If we do, we'll still have to stay in our cars, I'm sure, and abide by those rules. But as far as a few announcements goes, continue to give on Tithely. If you'd like to mail in, we can get you the address or different ways. And also, our homecoming service that will be coming up in May very quickly. Obviously, it's going to have to be moved, not canceled, but postponed to a later date. And our building is getting real close to being completed. We hope not many more months, probably before we even get back together. Maybe it'll be ready. And what I've thought about is, and we'll talk about this further as we get a time where we can meet and get some dates about come up as we see that everything's going to be better. Kind of on over into the fall. Maybe we'll plan a day for a building dedication, a homecoming service, all in one day. And even those of y'all may not know that New Harmony has a birthday this year. It turns 150 years old. And Pat was alive then, but she was in Mississippi. But if she was here, she could have told us about it. But it was only a miracle that this church has survived 150 years. We're going to have a celebration time. I don't know the date yet. I don't know if nobody can tell me when this thing will be able to do that. But we'll get a time together. We'll have our homecoming. Lord's will, it'll be in our new building. Our meal will be. And we'll dedicate that building that day to God. We'll have our a plaque presented to our church and maybe some exciting facts and different things we can come up with about through the 150-year history. So again, we appreciate you tuning in with us. Be back with us next week. And we'll either be in the drive-in church, we'll announce it probably, I usually look at it Thursday or Friday, and see what it's looking like, and let you know a day or two ahead of time so you can meet with us. Again, I pray that the Lord blesses you. Have a great Easter. I know you can't be together with your family, but those that are with you, praise the Lord this morning. Amen.